turn with me to Psalm 107. A lengthy psalm. We're going to read the whole thing, so bolster yourself. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. We've heard that already several times this morning. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from trouble and gathered in from the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. Some wandered in desert wastes, finding no way to a city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted within them. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He led them by a straight way till they reached a city to dwell in. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of man. For he satisfies the longing soul, and the hungry soul he fills with good things. Some sat in the darkness and in the shadow of death, prisoners in affliction and in irons, for they had rebelled against the words of God and spurned the counsel of the Most High. So he bowed their hearts down with hard labor. They fell down with none to help. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He brought them out of the darkness and the shadow of death and burst their bonds apart. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of man. For he shatters the doors of bronze and cuts in two the bars of iron. Some were fools through their own sinful ways, and because of their iniquities suffered affliction. They loathed any kind of food, and they drew near to the gates of death. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He sent out his word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of man. And let them offer sacrifices of thanksgiving and tell of his deeds in songs of joy. Some went down to the sea in ships, doing business on the great waters. They saw the deeds of the Lord, his wondrous works in the deep. For he commanded and raised the stormy wind, which lifted up the waves of the sea. They mounted up to heaven. They went down to the depths. Their courage melted away in their evil plight. They reeled and staggered like drunken men and were at their wits' end. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He made the storm be still, and the waves of the sea were hushed. Then they were glad that the waters were quiet, and he brought them to their desired haven. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of man. Let them extol him in the congregation of the people and praise him in the assembly of the elders. He turns rivers into a desert, springs of water into thirsty ground, a fruitful land into a salty waste because of the evil of its inhabitants. He turns a desert into pools of water, a parched land into springs of water, and there he lets the hungry dwell, and they establish a city to live in. They sow fields and plant vineyards and get a fruitful yield. By his blessing they multiply greatly, and he does not let their livestock diminish. When they are diminished and brought low through oppression, evil, and sorrow, he pours contempt on princes and makes them wander in trackless wastes. But he raises up the needy out of affliction and makes their families like flocks. The upright see it and are glad, and all wickedness shuts its mouth. Whoever is wise, let him attend to these things. Let them consider the steadfast love of the Lord. You may have noticed that over the past several weeks I have been preaching from the Psalms. And that all of the sermons that I have been preaching relate to trouble in some way or another. And that's not surprising because a lot of the Psalms are about trouble. So if you preach on the Psalms, you're going to have to deal with that sooner or later. And this Psalm, Psalm 107, follows a similar theme. It's a psalm about trouble and people who face trouble of all different kinds, but it is also a psalm of thanksgiving, and it calls us to give thanks to God for his help in our times of trouble. The psalmist, as you probably noticed as we read our way through, describes four different scenarios in which people can find themselves in trouble. And in each case, their trouble culminates in a point of crisis. And it's from that crisis that they then cry out to God in their distress. Did you hear that same verse repeated over and over again? They cried out, then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble. And the Lord came to them. And he helped them. He delivered them from their distress. So in verses 4 through 9, it talks about those who wandered in desert wastelands and could find no way to a city where they could settle. They were hungry and they were thirsty and their lives ebbed away. In verses 10 through 16, the psalmist describes prisoners who are suffering in iron chains and confined in darkness and in deepest gloom, and they were subject to hard labor and no one cared about their needs. In verses 17 through 22, it talks about sickness and disease, and that the sickness was so tremendous that their appetites were gone and they despaired even of life itself. Verses 23 through 32 describe sailors who are caught in a violent storm, which brings them to their wit's end. I love the imagery. The waves came and they went up to the heavens and then they went down to the depths. I've been in storms on Lake Michigan and the big lakes where you might have 8 or 10 foot swells, and in a little 16 foot boat, that's pretty big, but there are some potential for big, big waves out there that I've never experienced. But that's the kind of thing that the psalmist is talking about. And as we noticed last week with regard to those storm seas, the waters that threaten to engulf us, that is really a metaphor for the kinds of troubles that we face in life, that we face circumstances where it seems like we are just going to be overwhelmed by the waters of trouble. But in each case, it's in the midst of their trouble, at the point of crisis when all hope is lost, that the psalmist says they cried out to the Lord. Trouble comes in all shapes and sizes, doesn't it? The four scenarios that the psalmist describes are representative of the wide range of circumstances that we face. Nobody's trouble is exactly the same. It has similarities to it, but we face all kinds of different things in life. Soon after Sharon and I first met, I think, before we even had discovered that we loved each other, Sharon gave me a mug as a gift. It said, "Into each life a little rain must fall, followed by large hail and damaging winds." It's kind of the nature of things, isn't it? Just a really optimistic outlook on life. But as we read, the psalmist alludes to another truth about the different kinds of trouble that we face. And that is that we find ourselves in trouble, in distress, in difficult circumstances for all kinds of different reasons. Sometimes bad things just happen. They're not necessarily anybody's fault. They just happen, and we find ourselves in difficult times. The psalmist also says that some of our trouble is due to our own foolishness, our own carelessness, and because of that carelessness and foolishness, we do stupid things. Have you ever done stupid things? Some of you never have, I'm sure. And in our carelessness, we fall into sin. And the psalmist also talks about people who are in trouble because of their rebellion, because they have set their hearts against God. That's another step forward from just carelessness. To say, I will not listen. I will not obey. I will do it my own way. And then in verse 25 of this psalm, the psalmist makes an interesting statement. He says that God commanded and raised the stormy wind. There was no reason necessarily given. The psalmist doesn't say the sailors had sinned or rebelled against God, but God raised up this wind and the waves came and threatened them. Sometimes God may be at the source of our trouble. Trouble comes. Bad things happen. Sometimes it's our own fault, and at other times it's not. And sometimes God brings trouble into our lives. But in all of it, the psalmist is emphatic. As we've been singing this morning, God is good. In all of those circumstances that arise for all of those different reasons, the psalmist calls us to affirm God's goodness. And that refrain is repeated over and over again as well in this psalm. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works for the children of men. That's a tough one sometimes in the midst of our trouble, to thank God for his steadfast love. Can God really care about us and still allow us to suffer trouble? Can he be concerned for our good and still allow, perhaps even inflict pain? Tough questions. It's no secret that hardship seems to be the primary means that God uses to shape his people. Sarah was barren. Abraham was asked to sacrifice his own son. Joseph was sold into slavery. Moses was sent into the desert. David spent years running for his life from King Saul. And even Jesus, the writer to the Hebrews, tells us learned obedience through suffering. Their stories and countless others bear out the truth of what A.W. Tozer once said. He said, "It is doubtful that God can use a man greatly until he has wounded him deeply." Hard. Hard truth. But why does God use trouble and distress to work in our lives? C.S. Lewis made an interesting observation. He said, "God whispers in our pleasure and he shouts in our pain." God whispers in our pleasure and he shouts in our pain. But the question that we have to ask is, why can't he shout in our pleasure and whisper in our pain? Why can't it be the other way around? Why is it that trial and difficulty is the means that he uses to grow us? I think that the psalm kind of has the answer there. In that repeated phrase, the psalmist says that These people faced all kinds of different trouble and trials for all kinds of different reasons. And then he says, then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. Then they cried to the Lord. It wasn't until trouble came that they cried out to the Lord. In fact, it was the trouble itself that prompted them to cry out to the Lord. And that really describes human nature, doesn't it? When things are going well, we're much less inclined to recognize our need for God. And it's often when things are at their best that we are inclined to forget about God. Moses warned the people of Israel about that very thing in Deuteronomy chapter 8. He said, when you enter into the land, you're going to live in cities that you didn't build. You're going to harvest from vineyards that you didn't plant. You're going to eat and you're going to be satisfied. You're going to build fine homes and settle down. And when your herds and your flocks grow large and your silver and your gold increase and all that you have is multiplied, all of it, blessing from the Lord. But when you enjoy all of those blessings, he says, then your heart will become proud and you will forget the Lord your God. And as we read through the Old Testament, particularly in the book of Judges, we see that cycle over and over again. In fact, the beginning of the book of Judges kind of introduces that the people of Israel forgot about the Lord, and so the Lord would send them trouble. And in their trouble, they would cry out to him, and he would send them a deliverer, and they would return to him, and then they would again forget the Lord, and the cycle would happen over and over again. And I see it in myself. My comfortable, relatively easy life that I have is a blessing from God. It is a true blessing. He has showered grace on me. And yet I also recognize that in those peaceful, happy times, I am inclined to coast and to forget how much I need the Lord. It's not, I think, that God prefers to use pain to shape us. He would rather use blessing. It's his nature to bless us. The problem is that the very means he would prefer to use in us, we twist it around and it ends up working against us. God shouts in our pleasure just as loud as he shouts in our pain. The problem is that in our pleasure, we're less likely to be listening. So this psalm presents us with a hard truth. The troubles that we face in life are actually a reflection of God's goodness and his steadfast love. He uses the trouble that we face to work his good in us, because it is through our trouble that we come to realize just how much we need him, so that we cry out to him. And when we cry out to him, we find that he is faithful and good. In the end, the question is not whether God can still be good even when he hurts us. The real questions have to do with us. Are we listening? Can we hear his voice in the blessings that he gives us? Or does he have to bring us to our wits' end before we're ready to pay attention? Can we trust that he means to heal us and not to hurt us? And will we let him do that work, even when it hurts? Whoever is wise, the psalmist says as he concludes the psalm, let him heed these things and consider the great love of the Lord. I want to just point out another insight that is important for us to glean from this psalm. And that is that God's deliverance is extended to everyone who cries out to him for help. Whatever the reason is for our trouble, even if it's our own making, even if it is our own sin or our own rebellion, the psalmist assures us over and over again that if we cry out to God in our trouble, he will deliver us from our distress. The redeemed are those who cry out to the Lord. Whatever the circumstances, whatever the reason, he stands ready to save all that call to him for help. I'm glad that God never says, too bad, buddy, you made that mess, you're going to have to live in it. You've crossed the line, it's too late for you. He is always ready to redeem and to restore. There's an old hymn that is one of my favorites. It's called Come Ye Sinners, and I just want to read a couple verses to you. It says, come ye sinners, poor and needy, weak and wounded, sick and sore. Jesus ready stands to save you, full of pity, love, and power. Let not conscience make you linger, nor of fitness fondly dream. All the fitness he requires is to feel your need of him. God allows us to face trouble so that we may feel our need of him and come to the one who stands ready to save. So back at the beginning of the psalm, the psalmist calls us to give thanks to the Lord because he is good and his steadfast love endures forever. He says, let the redeemed say so. Let the redeemed proclaim that truth. God is good and his steadfast love endures forever. The redeemed, the psalmist says, is those that God has gathered from north and south and east and west. Those who have called out to him in the midst of their trouble. And they have found him to be a God who sees us in our need. A God who hears us when we cry out to him. A God who delivers us from our distress. The Apostle Paul in his letter to the Corinthians, his second letter, says, we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may be revealed in our body. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. Then he says this, for our light and momentary troubles, which don't feel light and momentary when they're happening, do they? Our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. The day is coming when all the redeemed will gather around the throne of God. People from every nation and language, people from north and south and east and west, just as the psalmist envisioned.
and the days of our trouble will be over, but our testimony will remain. In my trouble, I cried to the Lord, and he turned and heard my cry. He lifted me up from the pit and set my feet on solid ground. He has turned my sorrow into gladness and my grief into joy. He has taken away the bitterness and the gall and led me to a place of peace and rest. And so shall our song ever be, the song of the redeemed. Let us give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His steadfast love endures forever. Father, we thank you for your steadfast love. Father, we thank you also that you are even willing to hurt us in order to heal us. It's so difficult for us to see the goodness in the midst of our troubles. And yet, Lord, you have made yourself available so that in the midst of our pain and our suffering and our confusion, if we will only cry out to you, you will hear and you will deliver us, and we will find you to be a faithful God. And we look for that day when we will stand around your throne and proclaim as one voice, the voice of the redeemed, your steadfast love endures forever. We thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, that is the greatest evidence of that love. May we continue to stand firm in him as the winds blow and the waves toss us. May we cry out to you, our deliverer. We pray this, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.